This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Tuesday, good morning and welcome. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf has been with us every day for the past 6 months as we continue to get through this 2020. Happy Tuesday to you. Let's talk a little bit about the disparity, or at least the confusion around the positivity rate here in Macon County. Do we have any more clarification today than
Sure.
we did yesterday?
Actually, yes. I asked the health department yesterday during our crisis call about, you know, where are we on this? Because we're getting different numbers. And what was happening is the state, the IDPH numbers, which is what the governor bases his decision on whether to issue a warning, et cetera, for a county. Those numbers are a little bit behind, and the health department locally was trying to keep the numbers in real time. So their numbers were really more accurate, but because it was causing so much confusion, they're going to go back to just what the state's reporting.
Okay. And you know that people will have a heyday with that, right? I mean, there's some sort of, conspiracy, involved. I think what people have got to do, I don't know, to me anyway, is just be a little bit more human in this. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be differences. There's going to be, none of us have been through this before.
No, and, Brian, we've made mistakes throughout this, but, I mean, a lot of this is let's figure this out and go the best way. And really, the health department was really trying to be as accurate as possible. It's just it confuses people, because if you've got one website saying, well, we're at 7.1%, and another website saying we're at 6.3, those are really big discrepancies, because you get in trouble if you hit that 8%. And so I'm a little bit concerned about the direction we're going. And I was at a golf outing yesterday, and I can't give you the latest numbers. I have not read the health report yet from yesterday with the latest
numbers.
There were
23 newly confirmed yesterday afternoon, and that makes a grand total of 1,405 residents that have tested since the beginning of this. That's not the positivity rate is this two-week rolling average, not going back to March, but recent. And if I look at the dph.illinois.gov, which is the Department of Health website, because I had this question the other day, how many people have been tested in Macon County? According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, there have been 34,693 tests.
That's a lot of tests. One of the things that is critical moving forward, and I've got some really high hopes about the same sort of thing that the U of I is doing with their, tests. When tests lag, it causes a problem, because you don't know. Let's say you don't feel well, and you don't feel well on Friday, and you've got things you're supposed to do over the weekend. You can't get tested and get your test results back in time to know if you're positive or not. And so the smart thing to do is to stay home if you think you might be, until you know for sure. Because one of the things about the U of I's test that they're doing is, by testing so many people with a rapid turnaround, they're able to really hopefully stop the positives from spreading. Because if you know early and you can quarantine early, then your likelihood of spreading it to other people around campus is much smaller. So, it's one step at a time. We've still got a long road to go.
This is exactly what the NBA is doing, what the NFL is doing. These folks are trying to stay open, keep business open, provide the entertainment for people, but that's the exact protocols they're following. Because if you have a wide receiver that comes down with this and you find out immediately, then you know to isolate him and he doesn't infect the rest of the team. We said, people here will use this argument constantly. Well, the more you test, the more positive. Yeah, 36,000 people have been tested in Macon County. Any idea how many in Sangamon County? 96,000.
Which is amazing. Now, they had drive-through testing long before we did. They're a bigger county, so they're Springfield, so they tend to get things a little bit quicker than we do a lot of the times. But, our folks are really, really trying hard. Tanya has just been
phenomenal.
Amazing throughout all of this, and really trying to make this work in the best way possible. So, my hat is off to her in a huge way.
All right. So what do we do? We just talked to Kyle May earlier. He's in a unique position as a small business owner, but he sells stuff that's now more popular than ever because people are just doing things in a different way. I know we're going to have a natural evolution in all of this, and some businesses are going to do well because of what they do. Some are going to suffer. Some will probably have to close their doors. I mean, I don't know, but what can we do as a citizen and as a city, and what can you guys do to help those businesses try to make it?
That's a really good question, Brian. We've been really trying to promote to you know, people, please shop local, support our local restaurants and retailers. They have struggled more than anybody throughout this. And it's tough because we need them to be successful for the city to be successful. You know, it's, some of this is going to be with patience and, you know, just moving forward. You take a big hit when you do convention business, okay? And you book these things a year, sometimes 2 years in advance. And Terry Hamill has just been, you know, working unbelievably hard to try and salvage what she can and do things in a safe way. But it hurts businesses like the conference center. It hurts everybody. So then we don't have those taxes coming in to the city of Decatur. So then how do you pay the bills? So what else can you cut? I mean, it's a huge catch-22, and it's a vicious cycle. But we are all so dependent on each other in getting through this and getting through this successfully.
Yeah. I mean, the Palmer House Hilton in Chicago is in foreclosure.
Unbelievable. I mean, yeah. And so what do you do when you have a giant hotel with a lot of space? Even business travel is so incredibly off. I mean, we've added a lot of new hotels in the last 5 years or so in Macon County where, you know, most of them were geared toward business travelers who come in, whether it's to ADM, Caterpillar, or whomever, to, you know, spend a couple of days in Decatur and working. Well, that tax revenue is gone, and these businesses are sitting there, they're brand new, sitting there mostly empty. So it's a difficult situation to get through. So, and then, you know, you have the businesses that are trying to do the right things and follow the rules. They lose business to somebody, you know, nearby who isn't following the rules and it's not enforced. And it's really, it's wrong.
And yet you've got to look at some of these things like the ADMs, the Tate and Lyles, those businesses that have brought people in. They're doing this on Zoom now. You know, we're not going mm-hmm. back to those things. I mean, I think that there's still a lot of people that want to think that we're just going to go back to where we were instead of sort of getting ready for what the future looks like. And this thing has been an accelerator in that way, and that it is changing the way we live our lives. We're still going to live our lives. It's just going to be different, and businesses are going to have to adapt.
You're absolutely right. And so many businesses across the country that expected to at least be partially back in, you know, with their employees back in the building working again. My daughter has a job in St. Charles, Missouri, and they've been out since March, and they're doing business from their homes. And, you know, they thought they would have at least part of their team back in-house by, you know, the end of the summer. And it's at the earliest, it'll be after the first of the year. So you look at these major real estate things in downtown Chicago and major cities, even Bloomington, look at those big State Farm buildings. You know, you can't tell me they're full. And, you know, it's there's a lot still to come that is going to be devastating for business.
All right. The food drive is a week from Friday. I want to remind everyone we are taking cash, checks, credit cards. We'll take, you know, money however you want to give it. And at 19 cents a pound, you can do the math of our partnership with the Central Illinois Food Bank, but all still supporting all of our local charities, you know, literally the Good Samaritan Inn and Northeast Community Fund, Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, and so many more. Starting at 6 a.m., we're going to do it with a limited number of volunteers. You know, everyone will be social distance, required to wear a mask. We're doing all the things.
Now, will you still have, like, drive-through ability
yes,
for people to drive
absolutely.
Through and give you a
check? Yep, and that or swipe their credit card. And the United Way and Debbie's handling all of that with the volunteers. You can go to uwdecatur.org or you can go to nowdecatur.com for the link to sign up a two-hour volunteer shift. We're trying to, you know, we had to put a whole plan together for corporate Kroger to approve it because they want to keep everyone safe. And so we're doing this as legit as we can and hopefully raise as much money as we can to help people through what I think is still going to be a bad fall and a long winter.
Well, and I really want to encourage people to dig into your pockets because we've always needed you. We have always, you know, depended on this community to come through. And in an amazing way, every year, Decatur people, Macon County people come through. This year is different. We really, really need your help.
Yep. And I think once the stimulus stuff runs out, the crash that is coming for so many people is going to be devastating.
Yeah, it is. And as communities, we're going to do everything we can to help. But, you know, we're limited in our abilities, you know, and we do have phenomenal organizations here, the United Way, the Community Foundation, that are doing everything possible to help people right now. And, you know, the concern is that the need may be so great that we can't help everybody. And we want everybody to be able to feed their kids, feed, you know, for grandma to have Meals on Wheels. We have to do this for our neighbors. We've got to get through this.
Mayor, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.